So there's this term that shows up in the New Testament over and over again, and that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. In Greek, this term is pronounced allelon. In English, we translate this word as one another. This word shows up over 100 times in the New Testament. We see it in the Gospels, the letters of John, the letters of Paul. We even see it in the red letters of Jesus' own words. The New Testament uses this word allelon for good reason. It goes to the core of what we Christians believe, that we are to share the world together with those who are around us. We're not simply meant to live with each other, but to live together with one another. We are to treat those we share the world with as if they are one and the same with us. But sometimes it's hard to love, right? I'm a New York Yankees fan and my husband is a Red Sox fan. During baseball season, it is difficult to love him. But on a more serious note, we need to be reminded to love one another. So what we're doing each week to help us one another, each other, a little bit better in this crazy, complicated world we find ourselves in, we're looking at a different passage of Scripture from the New Testament that uses this word, allelon. And we're asking ourselves the question, how can we one another, each other, a little bit better? So today we're going to read from one of my favorite passages of Scripture. We're going to read from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Let us listen for God's word to us this morning, and let's listen for the word allelon, one another. Hear these words. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray for the one who preaches? For her sins are many. Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, may something of what is said and what is done and what is seen and what is heard here in this place and online be of you and your work in our lives and in this your world. In your holy name we ask it. Amen. So life is full of questions, right? Throughout the course of the day, we encounter many different types of questions. From the moment we wake up in the morning, we might hear questions like, how did you sleep? Or what are we having for breakfast? Or in my case, and this is, let's be honest, this is the most important question in the mornings, when will the coffee be ready? As we proceed through our day, we might ask, what is on the agenda for today? Or what do I need to get accomplished? Or what do I need to prepare for that important meeting or that important presentation later today? We might ask, what time is it? Or who is picking up the kids today? Throughout the day, we ask questions and we answer questions. Questions are an important part of life. Questions help us figure out what it is we want, and asking the right questions can have a way of helping us examine our faith, our life, and even our purpose. Sometimes we ask questions as a way of getting out of doing something that we really don't want to do. Or sometimes we might even ask questions to try and find a loophole as a way out of asking some of life's more deeper questions. So something that I have found in my 33 years of being here on the earth is that working with kids and youth, you sometimes hear some very interesting questions. Am I right? And I'm reminded of this particular sixth grader who had some difficult questions. One summer when I was in college, I decided that I was going to work at a summer camp. And I worked mostly with middle school students, so sixth through eighth graders. And each week at the camp, a new set of students would arrive, and my coworkers and I would creatively tell the students the rules for the week, because rules at camp are important. We had some pretty basic rules, like boys, don't go into the girls' cabin, and girls, don't go into the boys' cabin. Right? Pretty simple rules. These are the boundaries of the camp. Don't go over these boundaries. And probably the most important rule was be kind to one another. So, typical rules, right? And we thought these rules were clear, and we thought there shouldn't be any questions about these rules. The first couple weeks of camp, we didn't have any trouble with the kids following the rules. No one questioned our rules, no one broke the rules, until that one kid came the very last week of camp, and he had all of these hypothetical questions just to find a loophole in the rules. And I distinctively remember the questions that he asked. And he looked at me and asked, "So, if there's an emergency in the girls' cabin and no one is around to help, I mean, I could go into the girls' cabin then, right? I mean, that would be okay, right?" My response was, "No, you come find me or one of the counselors." Then he asked another question. "All right, so what if there's a flood and I can't get from my cabin to the dining hall? Can I go over this boundary so that I can get to the dining hall? I mean, you wouldn't want me to starve, would you?" I stared at this kid and I said, "No." Then he asked another question. "All right, what if a kid pranks me? Can I do something mean back to him? Or are you going to tell me that I have to be nice? You're going to tell me I have to be nice, aren't you?" I'm pretty sure at this point I just stared at the kid and prayed that the week of camp would already be over. And we can all laugh at this because, like this boy, we at times want to find a loophole or reason not to follow such simple rules or commands. Love one another. That's a pretty simple command, right? But it's one that's oh so difficult to follow each and every day. Because it can be challenging to love one another, right? Sometimes wouldn't it be nice if we had a loophole when it came to loving the difficult people in our life? Because aren't some people more challenging to be around, more challenging to love? But there isn't a loophole, and 1 John is pretty clear about that. Our text this morning is about love. And what do you think of when you hear the word love? Maybe you think of your spouse, your family, your children. Maybe you think about how much you love someone or something. I often think about how I love French pressed coffee in the morning, or I love the way my dogs greet me after a long day of work. But is this the kind of love that John's talking about in our passage? I love to go hiking. I love to play guitar. I love to read by the fire on a cold day with a cup of tea. Is this the kind of love John's talking about? I don't think this is the kind of love that leads us to love one another. The kind of love that we read about in 1 John is deeper, and it calls us to commitment. It calls us to love one another because God is love. It's a call to not find a loophole or some cheap expression of love, but it's a deep commitment. And so the question we may be afraid to ask or even encounter, but sometimes it's in the back of our minds, is why love one another? That's the question, isn't it? Why love one another? Because God is love. John tells us that love comes from God and that God is love. The kind of love being described here in 1 John comes from the Greek word agape. Agape in this case can be described as a self-sacrificing love. The self-sacrificing love that we see demonstrated in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God is love. Let us love one another. To say God is love is not sentimental, it's not frivolous. It is a bold statement, and it demands a bold commitment to the life that God calls us to live. It's a call to be humble, to be self-sacrificing, to view each other as a beloved child of God. God is love. We are called to love one another. And not just those that are closest to us or those that are easiest to love. Our call must extend to places and to people where love is foreign, where love is absent, where love has faded. This bold charge to love one another should be taken to those who cannot accept love, those who struggle with loving themselves. Love should be given to the broken, to those who have lost hope, to everyone around us, to our neighbors, to one another, to the person sitting beside you. God is love. Let us love one another. So there is a story about one anothering that one of my favorite authors, Bob Goff, tells in his book, Everybody Always. He tells a story about his experience getting to know his neighbors and his perspective on what it means to love one another. When his family first moved into their neighborhood, they decided to do something radical to get to know their neighbors. They decided that they would put on a New Year's Day parade on their street. He said that on the day of the parade, on New Year's Day, they all got up early, they blew up over 1,000 balloons, they set everything up just the way they wanted, and they began their processional around the neighborhood. Now, there are about 20 or so houses on his street, and only about 6 of the neighbors came outside, but I like to imagine that the rest of the neighbors were probably inside their house, peeking through the blinds, wondering, what in the world are these crazy new neighbors doing? So, realizing that this was not the reception that he had envisioned, Bob and his family were determined to do something for their neighbors. So they kept at it. And the next year, and the next year, and the next year, they kept doing a New Year's Day parade for their neighbors. And 21 years later, they're still doing a New Year's Day parade. And now they have over 400 people that participate, some that don't even live in their neighborhoods. So when asked why he kept going and doing this year after year, he answered, "You know, saying we love those around us, saying we love one another is simple, but actually doing it takes persistence. We're supposed to actually love one another. We're supposed to engage one another. We're supposed to love as Christians." Now, while throwing a parade might not be realistic for us, I think the concept behind the story holds something important for us and seeks to answer the question, why love one another? You see, Jesus calls us to show his love to others and to be persistent about it and to ask the question, who is God calling me to love today? The answer is love one another. The answer is practical things we can do for one another each day. It's sending flowers to the shut-in or the nursing home resident. It's paying for the coffee of the young mom in line behind you. It's letting the person behind you in the grocery checkout line go first. It's sending an encouraging text to your coworker or friend you know is having a challenging day. It's praying for one another. It's thinking of others before yourself. It's shining the light of Christ wherever you go. So find a way to love the difficult people more. Go find someone you've been avoiding and give away extravagant love to them. You'll learn more about God, your faith, and one another. Find someone you think is wrong, someone you disagree with, someone who thinks differently than you, someone who isn't like you at all, and decide to love that person the way God loves you. Because that person is a beloved child of God. Bob Goff said, "Love everybody always, not everybody some of the time, not everybody who looks and thinks like we do, not everybody who lives in the same neighborhood as us, but we are called to love everybody always." There are times when this is difficult, isn't it? And there will be times when we fail at this, and we probably will over and over again. But in those moments, we need to remember that God is love. Love one another. This is our heartbeat as Christians. This is what we need to remember when we are struggling with loving one another. This is what we need to remember when it seems like there isn't a kind response to that passive-aggressive comment someone made towards us. God is love. Let us love one another. This needs to be our heartbeat. Sometimes I wonder if statements like God is love and love one another have lost their depth and power when we hear them because we are constantly bombarded with weak examples of love in our society. We talk about loving certain kinds of food or loving a TV show or loving sports. We equate love with something that makes us happy, something that makes us feel a certain way. But love, at least the kind of love talked about in 1 John, extends far beyond that. And it seems recently that our society doesn't really value love. It seems like people value being right over loving one another. It seems that people are more concerned with making sure their opinion is loudly heard. It seems like people are using social media to single out people who have different views and beliefs than they do. Sometimes it seems that our society values rudeness and animosity over the way we treat one another. It's overwhelming, and sometimes we even see Christians just as defensive and choosing not to love one another. I'm not sure there has ever been a more important time for us to take seriously our commitment and call to love one another. As we see division and animosity tear through our communities and country, the call to love one another has never been more important than it is right now in this moment. The call to love one another should be our heartbeat as we navigate our way in this complicated world we find ourselves in. We should value loving one another over having the last word in an argument or disagreement. We need to remember that God is love. Love one another. This is our heartbeat. So when you wake up in the morning and you're having your coffee, remember that God is love. When you are running late for work and you're stuck in traffic and someone just cut you off, remember that God is love. Love one another. When you encounter difficult people, remember that God is love. When you disagree with others, remember that God is love. Love one another. Remember that that person that you are interacting with is a beloved child of God. When you interact with people on social media and encounter all sorts of malicious dialogue, remember that God is love. Love one another. When you're presented with the many challenges of life, remember that God is love. Love one another. And when you encounter good things in life, remember that God is love. Love one another. Let this phrase be your heartbeat. Let it set the rhythm of your life. Let it be at the heart of your daily interactions with people, your conversations, your responses, and the way you live your life. God is love. Love one another. This is our heartbeat. So my prayer for us today is that we would remember that God is love. So let us love one another. Let this be our heartbeat. God is love. Love one another. And let's ask the important question each day, how can I love one another and not look for a loophole out of loving one another? Friends, God is love. Let us love one another. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.